Scripture reading this morning is taken from Matthew, the 13th chapter. I'll be reading verses 44 through 46. Matthew 13, 44 through 46. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it.
Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's good to see each and every one of you. We're very thankful that we have some visitors with us. Very glad that you've had safe travels. We're thankful for that. We're very thankful for each and every one here today. We're thankful for the scripture reading. We're thankful for the song leading. We're thankful for the opportunity we have to unify together to worship God in spirit and in truth on this day, the Lord's Day. You know, as we think about this week, I think the first thing that comes to so many people's mind is thankfulness. And I have reflected on that a lot in the last couple of years, is how thankfulness is really a foundation of Christianity. I mean, love is a foundation of Christianity, but if you take out thankfulness, what I think you would realize is that really Christianity falls apart. If we are not a thankful people, then really we're not a faithful people. And I don't know if people think about that, is that if we lose thankfulness, we really, I think, lose our Christianity in many respects. I think that God has tried to set up the Christian life and things that God has asked us to do to help His people to be more thankful. I think when we sing the songs that we sing together in unison, that we're teaching ourselves each other, we're teaching and admonishing one another, encouraging one another, and in many of those it reminds us to be thankful for the blessings that we have, what Christ has blessed us with. But if we lose thankfulness, we really lose, I think, our faithfulness. And I think in order to be thankful, in many respects, we have to be able to see value. And what I'd like to talk about is the kingdom today, which I believe the kingdom to be the church. Are you thankful for the kingdom? Are you thankful for the church? Do you value the church? See, I think if we value the church and the kingdom the way we should, we will be thankful for the kingdom. If we are thankful, if we value Jesus Christ and we value His sacrifice, I think we will be thankful for that. So I think seeing value is associated with thankfulness. Do you value your spouse? You'll be thankful for those things that your spouse does for you. Those roles that they fulfill, the love that they have that drives their actions towards you. Are you thankful for the church? Are you thankful for the kingdom? Because if we are not thankful, I think that we will not be faithful. And I think part of that as well is if we cannot see the value of the kingdom, if we cannot see the value of the church, we will not be a thankful people. You know, there have been many surveys that have been given out across the United States. It's interesting reading some of the religious surveys that come in. You know, there are many people that value Jesus Christ. At least they say that they value Jesus Christ. But a lot of these surveys say, I value faith, I value Jesus, but I don't value the church. I don't value the kingdom. You know, that organized religion, I can do without that. I want to take Jesus. I want to take faith, but I want to leave the kingdom off to the side. And I don't believe that that's really possible. When we start to reflect on the kingdom, we start to reflect on the church, we start to reflect on Christ's relationship to the church, how Christ valued the church, purchased the church with His own blood, references the church as His bride in Ephesians chapter 5, can we see the value of the church? Can we see the value of the kingdom? If we can, I believe we'll be thankful for it. But if we cannot see the value of the church, the kingdom, it will have no value to us. And you know what? There's many people in the religious world which I think they don't value the kingdom. and they don't value the church. And it can be reflected in their actions, it can be reflected in their conduct. It's almost like they have pushed the church off to the side and say, I can have Christ without having the church. And I think that's problematic. You know, when you think about the church, certainly we're thinking about the blood-bought institution that individuals that are baptized for remission of sins are added to based off Acts chapter 2. But it is amazing over the course of time how people's attitudes have changed in respect to the church. And I'm not talking about the church building. I'm talking about the institution which Jesus purchased with his own blood that we can be added to, where all spiritual blessings are. People's attitude has changed in respect to the church. You know, if we just took a short history lesson, I think that we would see that people's attitude towards Christ's blood-bought institution has changed over the course of time. You know, in the United States, which I'm not saying that we should go to this point, but it's just interesting in terms of how our society has shifted so much. You know, if we read back in the history of this country, it used to be that church attendance was required by law. Now, I'm not saying that we should go back there. I think that we should see the value of the kingdom enough and realize that we are part of the kingdom. If we've been baptized for remission of sins, we've been added to the church, we should see the value in the kingdom enough that we want to be around the church and we want to do what the church is supposed to do in terms of being the bride of Christ, the body of Christ, the church of Christ. We should value it enough to fulfill what God wants. But it's interesting, in our nation's past, it used to be that church attendance was required by law. The only way that you could get out of that is if you had some serious illness or some emergency in your life. And I'm not saying that we go back there, but I'm just saying, how far have we come in terms of attitude in respect to the blood-bought institution of Jesus Christ? Oh, I want Jesus Christ, but I don't want the church. What a mistake that is. It's almost like saying no to yourself. It's almost like saying no to salvation, because the church is that saving vessel which Jesus purchased with his own blood. I don't want necessarily the law involved in our worship, but it is amazing how we look and how so much has changed in our nation. It used to be businesses were not open on Sunday. Well, why were businesses not open on Sunday? Because the expectation was that people were going to be at church. They were going to be trying to serve as God wanted them to serve. You know, as we read the Bible, I think it becomes very clear that God has expectations for his followers. God has expectations for the church. I think God wants us to be a thankful people, a praying people, a worshiping people, a growing people, the followers of God trying to serve God. But there's many people that say, I want Christ, but I don't want the church. And what has happened is they can't see the value of the church, which is so sad, because the church, the kingdom, is foundational throughout the New Testament scriptures. There are many people that say, I want to walk hand in hand with Jesus, but I don't want to walk hand in hand with the church, not really realizing what they are saying. In Matthew chapter 13, we have a series, a couple of parables here in relation to the kingdom. And I think the powerful question for us today is, can we see the value of the kingdom? Can we see the value of the church? Because if we can see the value of the kingdom, if we can see the value of the church, I believe we will be thankful for what we have in Christ. First, I think we have to discuss what is the kingdom. You know, when we transition from the Old Testament to the New Testament, all of the Jews are waiting on a king. They are waiting on a Savior. They're waiting on a Messiah. They are waiting on a kingdom that will never be destroyed, as Daniel predicted. And as you open up your New Testament and we start in the Gospels, we start to see that all the attention seems to be on the kingdom. And really, it should be. In Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, it says, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We've had a period of silence between the Old Testament and the New Testament. They're waiting on a kingdom, they're waiting on a Savior, they're waiting on a Messiah. And John the Baptist comes on the scene and says, the kingdom is at hand. You know, Jesus preaches the same thing. in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17, it says, from that time, Jesus began to preach saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We have a unified message coming from John the Baptist and Jesus Christ saying, the kingdom is at hand. The kingdom is going to be here soon. In fact, Jesus has other conversations. He has a conversation with Nicodemus. You must be born again of water and the Spirit in order to enter the kingdom. All the talk and all the discussion is about the kingdom. And then we get to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, there is a discussion there about Jesus' identity. Who is Jesus? And the conversation goes back and forth between the apostles and Jesus about his identity. Who is he? He is the Messiah. He is the Savior. He is the Son of God. In Matthew chapter 16, we start to see the conversation unfold. In verse 16, it says, Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And also I say to you, you are Peter, and on this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Now we see here, we have the church and the kingdom. They are associated, they are connected, I believe, in Matthew chapter 16. He says, Peter, the church is basically going to come, it's going to be established, and Hades shall not prevail against it. And he says, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom. Well, the keys are used to enter into something. How do we enter into the kingdom? How do we enter into the church? Well, Peter's got the keys. Maybe we should watch Peter throughout the scriptures. And we see that in Acts chapter 2, Peter preaches that first gospel message, and we see that those individuals were baptized for the remission of sins, and that they were added. And as you read chapter 2, verse 41, we see that these people were being added, and then in verse 47 of Acts chapter 2, they were added to the church, which I believe to be the kingdom. I believe the kingdom's here. I believe the kingdom is the church. In fact, once we start reading about the kingdom and the church after Acts chapter 2, we start to see very interesting terminology. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13, the Bible says this. It says, He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. It says, He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom. When we're reading this letter, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13, it says that these people have been conveyed into the kingdom. There are people in the kingdom. Well, you can't have people in the kingdom if the kingdom's not a thing. There are people in the kingdom, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13. I believe these are people that are in the church. And I think we can connect these pieces. We look at what Jesus said about the kingdom throughout his life. In John chapter 18 and verse 36, it says, Jesus answered and said, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not of this world. When we think about the church, we're thinking about a spiritual thing that we have been added to, which Jesus purchased with his own blood. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 28, it says, Surely I say to you, there are some of you standing here who shall not taste death till you see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. I believe the kingdom's here. I believe the kingdom is the church. The question is do you value it the way that you should? Do you value the kingdom? Do you value the church the way that you should? Because if we value it correctly, it will change your conduct and it will direct your life and your actions on this plane of life. Does the kingdom have value? Let's look at Matthew chapter 13, which was our reading. We have a couple parables here that certainly we can take the lessons away from. Verse 44, it says, The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. What Jesus is doing something of giving them an example that many of them would experience or a lot of them would have known of somebody who this happened in their lives. This might seem strange to us, but this was probably very common in biblical times. Because there were no banks, per se. If you had some money, if you had some things of value, what would you do? You would hide them. You would try to find a good hiding place, and you would bury it in the ground, or you would put it in some place that you thought it would be safe. Maybe you explore an idea, but this is something that in biblical times, they would have understood very well. They would understand that Dad buried something over there. They would understand that Grandpa buried something over there. So on occasion, because of death, because of forgetfulness, because of people, things would be found on occasion. And actually, in some of these places, there are still things that are found from time to time because those things were lost and they were forgotten about. We have a treasure that's in a field. This would have been common, and Jesus is almost saying, you know of somebody where this has happened, where they have found a treasure, or they have found something that had kind of been misplaced almost, you would be familiar with this. If you found a great treasure, what would you do? And you see the example that somebody would have great joy if they found this lost and misplaced treasure, and they would sell all that they had so they could buy the field and have possession of it. Do you feel that way towards the kingdom? Would you sell all that you have to be part of the church? To be added to the church? Would you sell all that you have? Would you give up everything? See, the value proposition makes a lot of sense. If you have something of high value, you would give whatever in order to gain that thing of high value. And we make these trades all the time in our life. If we look at the value of something and then we say, is this worth it? If I had a brand new truck and I said, I'll give you that for $10,000, I don't think a lot of people would get to their checkbook or their wallet very quickly. You got a brand new truck right off the lot, nothing wrong with it, nothing wrong with it at all, and you're going to give it to me for $10,000, that value proposition, you'd be like, that makes a lot of sense. You would not hesitate. You couldn't get to your wallet fast enough. You couldn't get to your checkbook fast enough because you know that that value, $10,000 for whatever the value of a new truck is, that is an easy decision. The church, the kingdom of God, should be an easy decision for everyone. And the question is why is it not? Because many times we can't see the value. Many times we don't see the value the way we should of the kingdom. I'm not saying that there are not a lot of hard situations that come between people and the church and the kingdom. But if we can see the value of the church and the kingdom, we will be willing to sell whatever needs to be sold. We'll be willing to do whatever needs to be done so that we can have possession of the kingdom, which is given by Jesus. Do you understand the work of the kingdom? See, it's amazing that the things that people say about the church, it's amazing that the way people talk about the church, it's amazing the way people talk about the kingdom, because how did Jesus feel about the kingdom? How did Jesus value the church? In Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, talking to the elders there in that situation, it says, therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Is there a higher price tag on the church? See, you want to talk about a brand new truck. We're talking about the church, and the church was not bought by things that are perishable, like silver and gold, but by the precious blood of Christ. There is no other thing that is more valuable. Jesus purchased it with his own blood. There is no other thing that has more value. Jesus shows that he values the church. The question is why do you not value the church? It's because Satan many times will try to fall the scene and try to make the church appear like it does not have value. Like the church has no worth. The church was purchased by the blood of Christ. Do you remember the value of the church? Can you see the value of the church? You know, I think that's one reason why when we partake of communion, we have that fruit of the vine, which represents Christ's blood. And when you start thinking about that blood, I think that there are many things that we can think about in respect to the blood and what the blood does for us in terms of the forgiveness of sin. It certainly reminds us of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and I think that it can really remind us of the church. And some of us need a weekly reminder, I know I do, a weekly reminder that the church is purchased by the blood of Christ. the value of the church. What a problem it is when people say, I'll take Jesus, but I won't take the church. How can you do that? Well, church is just a nuisance. You don't know what you're saying. Like, I mean, it's really a fundamental not understanding is that we're baptized for remission of sins, we're added to the church, and this is the bride of Christ. You want to be a part of this. But when you say, I don't want to have anything to do with the church, you're saying, I don't want to be the bride of Christ. I don't want to have a relationship with the Lord. I think of Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, as the Bible has there, it has this idea of marriage and Christ, and really this idea of Christ's relationship to the church, and it is compared to marriage. But in chapter 5 and verse 23, it says, for the husband is head of the wife. I'm reading verse 23. It says, for the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Jesus is the Savior of the body. We go back to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 23 and 24. It says the body and the church are the same thing. Jesus is the Savior of the church. But I don't want to be part of what Jesus is going to save. He's the Savior of the body. He's the Savior of the church. Well, I don't want to have anything to do with church. He's saying that you don't really want to have anything to do with salvation. The church is that precious. The church is purchased by Christ's blood. It's associated with salvation. And when we're in the kingdom, when we're in the church, when we're in the body of Christ, that's where all spiritual blessings are. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, it tells us all spiritual blessings are in Christ. And when you start reading through your Bible, you might be interested to see how many times that phrase is used. In Christ. In the church. That phrase is all throughout the Bible, and we see that all spiritual blessings are in Christ, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. We see that forgiveness of sins is in Christ, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. We see that salvation is in Christ. We see that there's no condemnation in Christ. There's no other place I want to be. I want to be in the church. I want to be added to the kingdom. I want to be added to the church because that is the safe place which God has provided for mankind. We have a chance to be reconciled to the Creator of the universe. Reconciled means the idea of being friends again. You have a chance to be friends again with God. Well, we say, why am I not friends with God? Because you've broken the law. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4, it says, whoever transgressed, it talks about there, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4, it says that when we break the law, that is lawlessness. And sin is lawlessness. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. When you break the law, when you break the law of God, you're not really at peace with God. It's like saying you're at peace with the, law enforcement when you're breaking the law. You can't really be at peace with law enforcement when you're breaking the law. And you know that officer might like you personally, but if you're breaking the law, you're not at peace with the officer at that point. You're not at peace with the law. When we break the law, we're not at peace with God. We're in fact separated from God. Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2. There's this idea that when we break the law, we're separated from God. Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2. And the penalty of breaking the law, Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, the wages of sin is death. When we break the law, the penalty is death. We're not at peace with God. You know what the church does? It gives us the opportunity to be reconciled to God. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 16, the Bible says this. It says, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. We can be reconciled to God. We can be friends again with God because of the blood of Jesus Christ, because of the church which he purchased. A lot of people are not friends with God because they have not been added to the church. And it gives me no joy to say that. But if all spiritual blessings are in Christ, if forgiveness of sins is in Christ, Ephesians 1:7, if salvation is in Christ, if all these things are in Christ, which is the church, which is the body, which is the kingdom, if you have to be in, then if you're out, you are not reconciled to God. You do not have peace with God. And what a dangerous situation that is. and where many people decide to live their lives. When we look at Matthew chapter 13, can you see the value that God is trying to get across? Is if you can see the value, I believe you would be thankful. We see the joy of this individual. This individual has found something of great value. And when you find something of great value, that joy bubbles up. When we understand that we can have peace with God, that we can be with God for eternity, that can bring great joy. It can bring great peace in our lives to know that we have that opportunity. But we cannot be reconciled to God outside the church. As mentioned in the lesson in the Bible study this morning, the idea of no sin in heaven. The sin problem has to be taken care of. We have to have peace with God, and the only way of that is through the blood of Jesus Christ. As we continue, it goes on from this idea of the treasure in the field, and it goes on in verses 45 and 46. It says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. The pearl of great price. You know, what I find interesting about these two parables is that these two illustrations that are right here, we have almost an accidental finding of the kingdom, and we have an intentional finding of the kingdom. You know, there's this one where this individual is almost walking through the field, and they happen to come across something of great value. And they acknowledge it, and they make the purchase. The second one, we have this individual that is seeking something of great value, and when they find it, they make the purchase. There is a commonality between the two, is that the individual makes the purchase, the individual pays the cost because they see the great value. But when we can't see the great value, we won't make the purchase. And there are many individuals out there that will not purchase the kingdom, if you will. They will not become part of the kingdom, they will not become part of the church because they don't see the value. And part of our job as Christians is to make the church attractive. To make the kingdom attractive. That's part of our job. To be representatives of Christ, that people can see the way we live our lives and say, you know what? They live their life with a type of joy that I don't see from other people. You know, I look at that Christian, he or she, and she seems to have, or he seems to have, less stress than the rest of the world. They start looking at us, they see their actions, and they're like, what is different about this person? And the difference should be that we purchased the kingdom. We said that we want to be part of the kingdom. We want our sins forgiven. We want to be servants of the Lord because we see the value in it. And that should change our lives. Would you give up all for the kingdom? Both of these situations, both were willing to give up all for the kingdom. You know, that's not an easy discussion, but I think God is really trying to get that across. Is that the kingdom has so much value that you should be willing to exchange any earthly thing for that. And I know that that can put a lot of people in hard situations. I use my grandma as a placeholder, but I know that there's individuals here at Sandyville that had to make a very similar decision. I'd say that my grandma maybe came across the kingdom in a more accidental way. She was walking home. And a man stopped by with a bus and said, would you like a ride home? That gentleman was my grandfather. She got on that bus, drove her home. After that point, they started to have Bible studies together. They started having discussions together. My grandma was already affiliated with the denomination. She was very deep into this denomination. In fact, she had titles. She had prestige in this denomination that she was part of. She was a very well-known Bible class teacher. As these Bible studies went on, she started to keep a little notebook to herself of what was being done where she was attending that she could not find in the Bible. As time went on, her notebook got longer and longer. She started to realize that what she was a part of was not really the pearl of great price. It was a counterfeit. She realized that this was not a real treasure. It was a fake treasure built on the lies of individuals, maybe perhaps sincere, but not really understanding the Bible correctly. Eventually, that notebook got so long that my grandma made the decision to become a New Testament Christian and become a member of the Lord's Church, become part of the kingdom. And when she made that decision, she did have to leave family behind. In fact, the conversation that was given to my grandmother was, if you make this decision and you are baptized for the remission of your sins and added to the kingdom, you're not welcome back here. That's the story of my grandmother, but certainly that's the story of some people that sit here with us here at Sandyville. Some people had to see the pearl of great price. They had to see the treasure in the field and have to say, this is the real deal, and I will do whatever needs to be done to become part of that. It's not an easy conversation to be had, but really, Jesus is up front with individuals throughout the Bible. I think of Matthew chapter 10, verses 34 through 39. It says, do not think I came to bring peace on earth. Wait, Christ did bring peace. He did. He brought peace with God. But if you think that Christ is going to bring some worldly peace across the whole world, it's not going to happen because of the devil and because of sin. Certainly, I wish for those things. I pray for those things. I think we can have those things in pockets across the world. But think about that. Do not think I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. I'm not saying this is an easy conversation to be had, but we can read it in the pages of the Bible. Those were the words of Jesus. Jesus says that I know that the kingdom, the church, is going to cause some division. Because some individuals are not going to see the value, and some individuals, unfortunately, are going to fall for a counterfeit. But what a blessing it is to be able to find the church, the kingdom, and be a part. And when you find something of such value, what should you do? Whatever it takes. Do you see the value of the church? Do you see the value of the kingdom? There are so many blessings of being a New Testament Christian. Even though my grandmother had to walk away from her physical family, she gained a spiritual family. A spiritual family that welcomed her with open arms and did everything in their power to support her as she went throughout her life. But see, you got to see the value. Can you see the value of the kingdom? Do you understand that if you miss the kingdom, if you walk away from the kingdom, do you understand what you're walking away from? Because really, when we look at this picture, we see the good of the situation. We see somebody who finds a treasure in the field and they say, I will give whatever needs to be done. I will purchase it. And then we see the person that finds the pearl and they say, I will do whatever. I will purchase it because I can see the great value. Do you know that there are people in this world that walk by the treasure in the field every day? There are individuals in this world that walk by the pearl of great price every day because they don't see the value. Can you see the value? See, Satan will do everything in his power to distract from the pearl of great price. He will do everything in his power to distract away from the treasure in the field. We certainly had a challenge as New Testament Christians to make the church as appealing as possible. Certainly the Bible, if we read the Bible, that is power enough. But certainly as we think of ourselves as New Testament Christians and the obligation we have to be the light of the world is we're all trying to point towards Jesus Christ and His church. But if you walk away from that pearl of great price, if you walk away from the treasure in the field, and perhaps you were deceived, perhaps somebody said this is not the pearl of great price, you can have any pearl that you want. If you were deceived, and you realize down the road that that was the pearl of great price, or down the road you realize that was the treasure in the field, what are you going to feel? You're going to feel regret. I think of Esau in the Old Testament. You remember Esau and Jacob, twins? And Esau, he's kind of a hunter. He goes out in the fields, and he likes to do the hunting and that type of thing. And he comes back home, and he is just tired. And his brother is cooking a stew. And he makes an exchange there. A birthright for the stew, basically. We kind of see that transpire there. In the New Testament, it talks about Esau at a later date. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 17, the Bible says this. It says, "For you know that afterwards, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears." Talk about a scene of regret. It's almost like we see this picture that Esau understands that he made a bad trade. He did not make a good investment. And we see that he wants to change, he wants to go back, he wants to make it right, but he can't. Because the time of repentance has passed. It says, even though he was seeking it diligently with tears. You know, if you walk past the pearl of great price, if you walk past the treasure in the field, if you don't investigate it, if you don't look at it, if you don't invest time to try to make sure that this is the pearl of great price, then you don't invest the time to make sure that this is a great treasure that would be worth everything. If you do not invest that time to investigate, you will regret it for an eternity. There are many people that will walk by the pearl of great price. You know, even worse than that, in 2 Peter, chapter 2, verses 20 through 22, we even have perhaps a more powerful picture. It looks like these individuals have almost taken the pearl of great price, but then at some point, that pearl loses value in their lives, and they say, "I'm going to throw it back." A person who gained possession of this treasure, and they have this treasure, and they're carrying it, and for a period of time, they have great joy, and they have great satisfaction in this treasure that they have now possession of. But as time goes on, they say, "You know what? I don't want the treasure anymore. You know what? I don't want the pearl anymore." I think that's the picture of what we see in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 and through 22. It says, "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, and the latter end is worse for them than from the beginning. For it would have been better for them to not have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to its own vomit, and a sow having washed, to wallowing in the mire." Don't walk away from the kingdom. Don't miss the kingdom. You might walk up on the pearl of great price, investigate it. But there's some people that might pick up the pearl of great price, and throughout their life they say, "I'm going to throw it back because this is worthless to me, it does not have value," and I can almost promise you that day, before they threw away the pearl of great price, they first became not thankful for the pearl of great price. When we're not thankful for God, we'll walk away from God because we don't see the value anymore. When we're not thankful, we'll walk away. This person is not thankful for the pearl of great price. They throw it back into the world because they don't see the value. When you don't see the value, you walk away. Are you going to walk away from God? Are you going to walk away from the kingdom? Here's the question for you. Matthew chapter 16, verse 26. "For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" What will you give for the kingdom? What will you give for the church? There is no value out there higher. And if we lose the sight of value, we will not be thankful. If we miss the kingdom, there will be regret. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3, it says, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation?" Will you neglect the pearl of great price? Will you neglect the treasure of God? Perhaps this morning you need to become a New Testament Christian. We see the pattern in the New Testament: hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, being baptized, and being added to the church. Perhaps you need to become a New Testament Christian. Perhaps you need the prayers of the church. We would love to pray with you and for you if there is a need. If you're subject to invitation anyway, we ask you to please come as we stand and as we sing.